Hi. My name is Ram. I currently work on distributed systems at Uber. And today I'm going to present this talk called Grand Slam, Guaranteeing SLAs for Job Executing in Microservice Execution Framework. This was the work that I was doing as a PhD student at University of Michigan with my advisors Jason Mars and Lingjia Tang. And this is a collaborative work with Lavanya Subramaniam from Facebook, Ashwin Raju from the University of Texas at Arlington, and Jungsab An from Azure University, Korea. So this is going to be a microservices talk. So I'll just start with giving a high-level overview of how cloud services have been transformed over the past few years. Right? So there's a huge transformation in the characteristics of applications that is being executed in current generation cloud. Right? So traditional applications, right, are monolithic. Right? So a user ends up building an application end-to-end from scratch, and he also tries to choose the right kind of data center that he wants to deploy his application on, and he also tries to choose the hardware based on his application's performance requirements. Right? So, however, this has seen a huge transformation where these monolithic end-to-end applications have been disaggregated using microservices, where the user at this microservices framework ends up writing much less code. Because microservice architecture fundamentally provides users with a catalog of services from which he can choose upon, and then all he has to do is write glue code to stitch these services along with some code that could be very much inherent or proprietary for his application. Right, so cloud service providers here are responsible for maintaining high performance, especially with respect to latency, while executing these microservices. And they run on really, really much better hardware with better performance. So we tried to evaluate a couple of workload scenarios for that actually utilizes microservice execution framework. A couple of these applications that were taken into consideration, one was an image-based querying system, and the other application that we took was an intelligent personal assistant application, which is similar to what Apple Siri or Microsoft Cortana does, right? So the image querying system takes an image and then identifies the object that is present in the end-to-end execution of your application and tries to answer questions based on things that are present in image. And an IPA system, again, as we all know, answers questions in and provides the answers to the questions that you ask to it as the output. So one of the common observations that we had, which was the triggering point of this line of research, was that a bunch of these applications have a set of common microservice instances that are present, right? And this is very common across people that actually use these kinds of execution framework, where you just have a catalog and you have to share these kinds of these different microservice types. And because of this, there exist at multiple places in the data center where the number of instances of these microservices are duplicated, which actually serve the same kind of functionality. Some of these might execute in really, really high performant manner, while some execute much less queries, which in turn causes a low resource utilization in an underlying data center. So this was a problem that we actually identified in such execution frameworks. And a straightforward immediate solution that we are trying to think about solving this was to enable sharing of microservices. Right? This is very different from fundamental sharing in cloud computing, where in traditional data centers, sharing happens at a very coarse granular manner. Right? So for instance, if you have an application, you bound it in a VM, and then you let multiple VMs share your data center resources. Sometimes it may end up sharing your cores, or sometimes it may end up sharing last level cache, or any IO, whatnot. But here, the sharing happens at a much, much finer granularity, at a request level. Right? So you might end up having a microservice instance that is serving requests corresponding to two different applications, or even completely different users, where their application pipeline is completely different, just that they end up having common microservice resources. Right? And the execution pipeline under such circumstances gets transformed to something like this, where your common microservice instances are fused at the most possible extent that we can do. So A very intuitive outcome of this phenomenon is that sharing microservices can actually improve the resource utilization. However, how does it actually translate? How does instance sharing happen behind the scenes? How does it translate to improvement in resource utilization? Right? So we tried to evaluate that using, again, a set of AI and ML microservices, especially that being very common in private microservice execution frameworks as well as serverless computing infrastructures. Right? What people do in private data centers, right, is they batch requests belonging to multiple applications. Right? So requests belonging to multiple applications can be composed into a single batch and then executed along with each other together. Right? So there are a lot of advantages here, just that one straightforward advantage with respect architecturally is that when you batch requests together, there's a lot of locality in cache that could be seen, which will improve the performance of execution, especially in terms of throughput, wherein if these queries were executed in a serialized manner, the queuing delay would shoot up really highly, and that might end up executing your services at a much lower performance. Though there might be resource utilization improvements due to batching of multiple queries, there is also a slight negative impact that we all know, that we try to study, especially for this landscape of microservices, which is latency, right? So again, we took these IPA application as well as the image querying system and then tried to quantify the effects of latency when we actually let them share these microservice instances. So the top pipeline is the image query application, and the bottom pipeline here in this figure is the IPA application. Right? And the graph that I'm showing right now is for the image query. And the horizontal axis is the number of requests served over time, and the vertical axis is the latency. And the yellow line shows situations where we disallow sharing, and the blue line shows the same situation where sharing is allowed with the IPA query. What we can see is that especially for this application, we did not see a huge amount of increase in the latency, and it was still within tolerable limits, especially for user-level service, user-specific service-level agreements. However, for the IPA application, we saw, especially in stage three, when we allowed sharing, that the latency of these requests, individual requests, started shooting up really high, and this ended up violating your SLAs. So sharing microservices can improve resource utilization, but SLAs can be violated sometimes, and it becomes really important to keep this in mind while allowing sharing. So with this, what we try to identify is that latency-aware sharing is going to be the holy grail in multi-tenancy, especially when microservices are getting much more popular and when microservices are a very common sight these days in private data centers as well as in serverless computing environments where people actually use multiple tenants to execute these applications. So there, our fundamental goal here is to maintain or is to guarantee user-specific end-to-end latency. And this end-to-end latency is going to be different for both the image querying application and the speech recognition application. So to maintain that, the most necessary condition that we identified was to actually follow a disaggregated approach, right? So where we try to first maintain stage level, sub-stage latencies, and we try to cumulatively add these sub-stage latencies in such a manner that the end-to-end latency is actually served for these requests at runtime. So your sub-stage latencies, we define them as slack, or the maximum amount of time a request can spend at that particular stage, right? And the end-to-end latency here, or the end-to-end slack, becomes the summation of these individual stage slacks. However, there is a lot of challenges, especially with this new emerging microservice framework, in realizing this, especially for these different applications where you have different microservice stages, and each of them are very heterogeneous in terms of execution time. So these characteristics being given, we identified two high-level goals that we thought we should satisfy before, so that we can actually satisfy the problem of solving guaranteeing end-to-end latencies. So the first goal that we undertook was towards accurately estimating the completion time of any request prior to its execution. So this enables us to build a runtime system that can save, that can give us a choice whether or not to execute a query at a particular microservice stage, right? So we wanted that so that we can hone in as to where, which microservices provide a lot of, violate a lot of substate slacks, so that maybe we can do something like instance propagation, which can relieve the load of certain microservice instances where latency violations happen. So, and the second and a very important goal here is to identify the slack at each microservice stage. As I told earlier, these individual stages are really heterogeneous, and identifying this slack merely becomes a problem of allocating slack proportionally from your end-to-end latency. And since they are heterogeneous, we have to, there would end up being a way by which you could allocate more slack for some stages and less slack for the other stages, because inherently the request goes through all the stages in a pipeline fashion, but ends up spending much less time and some much more, merely because of the compute requirements of these microservices, right? So in order to actually satisfy these goals, both towards predicting the execution time and identifying slack, we ended up doing a performance study of requests that is executing, that is actually going through these microservice stages. So for this, we took image recognition as our test example application, and try to quantify the latency as well as throughput as we dial or increase the sharing degree, where we say, hey, the number of requests that are executing at so. So one clear observation that we have is that as we increase the sharing degree, we have an increase in throughput. However, the latency also increases, and the most important takeaway from this is that the latency increases in a very linear fashion. And this is for a fixed input size of an image of dimensions 128 cross 128. Right? So for this, what we end up using is a linear regression model to actually identify the execution time prior to its execution based on this data. The second factor that we identify, which was very critical towards predicting the execution time prior to execution, is the input size, where if we increase the input size, it translates to actually performing more computation, and this might increase the latency of execution of these queries. Right? And naturally, the third factor that we identify is the queuing delay for any request response system. If queuing starts to happen at a much more frequent basis, what will actually happen is that it will increase the execution time. So our estimated time of completion that we want to estimate prior to its execution becomes merely a function of the queuing and the compute part, where the compute part is dominated by the granularity at which we end up sharing these microservices and the size of these inputs, right? So we built a model that can predict this prior to its execution, and the model and the results of that model are shown in this figure, right? We use different input sizes for a set of applications, face recognition, facial detection, image classification, human segmentation. So if you look at the paper, we had other natural language processing models and even I/O intensive models, where we have characterized both sharing degree and where we have tried to predict queries execution time based on input size and sharing degree. So for an NLP application, typically, the input size would be the number of words that is present in a given sentence. Again, sharing degrees would be the number of requests or queries that are batched. So once, if we know the execution time prior to execution, what we have to do is to actually make sure that we run in a particular batch size or sharing degree, which actually which is much lesser than the stage slack. So to do that, we have to calculate the microservice stage slack for every applications. So stage slacks, as we define here, are proportionally allocated from the end-to-end latency based on how much compute each of the stages present in an end-to-end application pipeline would take. Right? So for that, we utilize an app called Poor's Estimation for Sign Language, where this is a real-world application which would actually take a video that actually does sign language and then tries to estimate what it is trying to say. And there are four microservices in this application, and we could see that some of them, and in this graph, the horizontal axis is the batch size, and the vertical axis is the percentage of slack that you have to allocate for each of these microservices. So from this graph, we have we actually gained two insights. The first insight saying, being that the computation time across these different stages vary by a lot extent, right? So sequence learning is typically a language translation service where it spends a lot of time in computing, translating the language. However, the activity poses a much less computationally intensive microservice, right? So there is disparity across these microservice stages, and the percentage of slack does not vary much across batch sizes. So to allocate stack, all we need to do is take a reference batch size and then see how much percentage that is present with respect to execution time for that particular batch size, and then proportionally allocate the amount of time as slack from your end-to-end SLA, and make sure your estimation completion model tries to actually meet the specification of slack at individual stages. And your runtime system will contain queries that actually satisfy end-to-end latency. So based on these two, based on the stage slacks and as well as the estimation time completion model, we build a runtime system that tries to provide stage slack-based request handling. Typically what we do is that we take a bunch of queries and then we reorder these queries based on its slack at each microservice stage. So for instance, for this diagram, the NLU is a natural language understanding microservice that actually understands given a natural language and categorizes a sentence into words, into nouns, adjectives, and adverbs so that you can have a better understanding of any sentence. Right, so, and if you have, say, six or seven queries that is executing that at that stage at a particular point of time, we reorder these queries based on the slack for each individual query. One thing that you have to note here is that these queries might be part of different application pipelines, and it could be at different stage of execution. So some queries might have a lot of slack because it may just start, but some queries might have much less slack because it's from a very, very latency critical application. And lastly, what we do is that we dynamically adjust the batch size such that every query's estimated completed time for a particular batch size is much lesser than the slack that is being allocated to that stage for that particular application. Right. So this is a runtime system that tries to guarantee SLAs over time. And based on this, another optimization that we perform on top of this is do slack forwarding, where at a lot of instances, a common observation that we had is that a lot of times these applications have a lot of slack, which you actually utilize to transfer to other applications, which have much less slack. So we, and if at a particular stage, there's really a lot of slack that is being unused, we forward to the next stage. So this is very important because transferring the slack gives a much higher slack, which this can enable much higher sharing degree, which can enable our system to batch much more aggressively, thereby increasing the resource utilization of your data set. So with this, we try to evaluate Grand Slam at both CPU and GPU infrastructures. This is mainly because we use a GPU infrastructure here because a lot of microservices that we see are AI and ML-based microservices. And these microservices, and it's a very common trend to actually use GPUs to actually execute AI and ML microservices. Even that's being common even for inference queries these days. And we use, we took a typical set of 5 different applications that consist of a bunch of microservices. We implemented these applications and these corresponding microservices using TensorFlow libraries, and we created 3 different workload setups where different applications from these 6 different different end-to-end application pipelines share common microservices, right? So with this infrastructure setup, we mainly in this talk, I'm going to give 2 important results where we try to prove that we reduce the end-to-end, we reduce the percentage of latency violation. GrandSolve reduces the percentage of latency violation and increases throughput of an end-to-end data center. So latency. So we take 4 different schemes to actually evaluate Grand Slam, the baseline scheme being no reordering and no not allowing sharing, and incrementally increase the optimization technique to introduce reordering and batching. And from those, the main key takeaway from this point is that reordering does not do much gains because it becomes really, really critical, especially for throughput or resource related of your underlying data center resources to enable batching, right? So batching should be introduced, and a batching combined with reordering technique can be very, very critical, especially for serving requests that has very, very tight SLA constraints. And for our workloads, we had percentage of SLA violations much lesser than 10%. Peak error. So then we tried to characterize the throughput of our entire system by using state-of-the-art scheduling techniques, equal division scheduling, where we equally divide the slack among the microservice instances, and we use an earliest deadline first, and we try to normalize Grand Slam technique with these a combination of these methods, and we see that we observe up to 2x increase in performance. So we explored a new approach to actually improve resource utilization, especially for microservice execution framework. We try to analyze microservice execution scenarios and try to build an accurate model that could estimate the completion time of microservices to enable to guarantee end-to-end SLA by exploiting stage level slack. Questions?
Thank you. 1 minute for the question.
John Wilkes, Google. First of all, terminology, this is an SLO, not an SLA, but let's not do that. Second, the example you offered us was for sharing a tail of two separate pipelines. Does it work if I have just want to share the stuff in the middle of two things and have separate tails?
Yes. A lot of our
great. And what do you do about things like privacy? Do you do about things like privacy?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand your question. So, so to answer your first question, we have pipelines in our experimental setup. We even share middle microservices. Right, it's independent of that.
Okay, thanks. And the other question was privacy? Question mark.
Sorry.
Privacy.
So privacy. So that's a really good question. In terms of privacy, these microservice execution framework uses API as a service to actually enable this, right? So all you use is a single API, and that API consists of just your input as well as an API call. So you're not going to execute source code there, so there's any inherent native code within your container. So I think it's a much secure platform to actually use that, so privacy does not become a huge concern, is what our assumption is. Cool, thank you.
Thanks again.